Welcome to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Their goal is to win the lost, disciple Christians, set the captives free, and see the sick made whole. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org. Now, here is Pastor Gary Culp with today's message.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. What do we know for sure? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's pray for souls. Well, Father, we want everyone to go to heaven. So we're at least going to pray for every boy and girl, man and woman in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. We're praying for their past, present, and future spouses. We're praying for all the children they have now and the future and their family members, grandchildren they have now and the future and their family members, great-grandchildren they have now and the future and their family members. By faith, in your name, Lord Jesus, we're sending the Holy Spirit to convict every person of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Lord Jesus Christ, please reveal yourself to each person, your incarnation, your perfect life, the great miracles you did, your death, burial, and resurrection, your precious atoning blood, the revelation and understanding by your stripes we were healed. We come to every boy and girl, man and woman, and yet, Father, that humbled themselves before you, repented their sins, received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, being gloriously born again from above. And then, Father, you get every person to a good Bible-believing teaching church that then be baptized in water, receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We pray for every Christian to become a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're praying for every demon-possessed, demonized, and captive person to be set free. And yes, Lord Jesus, all the sick to be healed from every sickness and every disease. And your people, Lord Jesus, to receive and to walk in financial abundance, prosperity, debt cancellation of their debts, the full blessing of Abraham, whom God blessed in all things. And we agree for that right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we want to pray for our country right now. And Father, we just want to, first of all, say thank you for your servant, Donald Trump. Thank you as we celebrate the 250 years of being a nation. We're having had a rededication service last Sunday, Father God, rededicating this nation to you. Father, that's good. Father, through that rededication service, change the hearts and people of everyone in America. May there be revival. May millions of souls come into the kingdom of God. Let there be miracles, healing, signs, and wonders, Father God, and evil to be exposed and put down, and people would flee from it. And we're believing you're doing that, Father. We're agreeing right before the rapture, and we believe we're close. You're going to have this end-time revival, and we want to be part of it. And we thank you that Donald Trump is part of that by setting our nation aside again to God. Lord, we belong to you. And Father God, we can confess you're the only true God. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you and we worship you. Also, Father God, we pray that you will continue to grant your mighty hedge of protection and angelic protection about our power grid. Father, because of prophetic warnings you've given, please protect our water tables, which includes the water in our wells and city water. Please protect our food, our farms, our farmers, our food production plants. Please, Father, protect our electricity, our gas, our oil, our coal. Father, we agree together. Father, allow no person, group, or nation to poison, hack, diminish, destroy, or evil affect any of these resources. And Father, if any person, group, or nation tries to touch them and do evil, stomp them, shut them down, don't let them do their evil, Father. And we thank you for it by faith. And continue to bless Donald Trump and the ICE agents as you, Father, expose and bring to light every terrorist, every foreign soldier, every prisoner, every pedophile, every drug trafficker, every sex trafficker, everyone who's coming to America to do evil is being exposed, brought to the light, driven out of this country to return no more. And we declare that in Jesus' name. Also, Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We love the Jewish people. We pray you would remove the binders and scales off their hearts and minds, and they would see, Lord Jesus, you are their Messiah, you are Savior and Lord, and they'd be born again, Spirit-filled. Father, we agree with you that you said in your word they have title deed to all the land of Canaan. Restore all that land to them, Father. It's theirs. You said so. And also, Father, if any person, group, or nation tries to harm or do evil to the Jewish people or the nation Israel, you would stop them. And if they persist in their evil against them, you would destroy them. And we're agreeing for that right now. And we thank you for answering this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in light of the fact of this period of time now and this service of rededicating America, which was so powerful, I'm believing good things will happen to that. And again, only President Donald Trump would have the courage, the guts to do something like that. He's God's man. I don't think he's perfect at all. He's God's man for this hour, and God bless him. The church, he loves America and he loves the church. So be thankful, be grateful. Praise God every day that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are in the White House and are able to stomp the works of the devil. And that's being nice. Okay. All right. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we'll start at verse 12. You know, God wouldn't let David build that temple, but he would let Solomon do it. So they built the temple, and now they're dedicating it to the Lord. And now we'll start in verse 12 in 2 Chronicles 7:12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. So God is saying, I like what you're doing. This is great. My blessings are upon you and your kingdom right now. But if bad things start happening, yeah, I'm behind those things, and it's because you messed up. But I'm going to give you cause and cure. Here's the cure, and then we'll hear a little bit more what would cause things like that to happen. Verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So that's the cure. Cause, things falling apart, world's falling apart, disaster's happening. Here's what you can do. And it doesn't happen except for the fact that you've been bad. You've gotten away from your God. Okay, but let's continue. Verse 15. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. See, that was God's desire. And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Well, that's great. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David, thy father, walked and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my ordinances, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David, thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. Okay, what a blessing. Just keep it up. Just keep being faithful to God, right? But, you know, God says there's a chance you won't do it. And sad to say, that's what happened later on. But let's go back. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them. Now, again, there's only one true God. But you understand, and back then, they have thousands of foreign gods, pagan deities, and things like that, which was nothing more than Satan and his kingdom. Just like today, only one true God, but there's a lot of little g false gods, you know, cults, isms, secret societies, and now woke churches. Yeah. Things haven't changed, have they? And God warns, better not do that. Okay. Then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to every one that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this to this land and to this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and again, and laid hold on other gods. You know, humanism is a false religion. Did you know that? And worship them and serve them. Wherefore hath he brought all this evil upon them? So God is pleased. Solomon's built the temple. Things are going great. People are serving God. But you know what happened in time to come? And I don't want to get into that. Yeah, they fell away from God. The temple was destroyed. Sad, sad, sad. They went after other gods. They wanted to be like the other nations instead of following the true God. Oh, that's still true today. But here's God's prescription. Let's see how we can get it fixed, okay? Notice how he starts. He says, my people, okay? You know, the heathen and the pagans, they ain't going to get right. I mean, we're praying for their salvation. No, when God wants things to get right, he starts with his people. And today, that's the Christians, right? And in fact, when God begins to bring judgments and get things straightened out when they get messed up, you know who he deals with first? Oh, the evil pimps and prostitutes and tax collectors? No. He deals with the church. Here it is, 1 Peter 4:17. This is the New Testament, right? Okay. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. So where does judgment start? It starts with the people of God. God deals with his people first. The judgments of God deal with the church. And we've seen judgments. Preachers who have been doing evil, wicked things have been exposed and cast down. It's being exposed how terrible the woke movement is. People are getting away from that. You know, God is bringing judgment on these false religions, idolatry, and yet some of them are still prospering in the United States. Well, God will take care of that. But he starts with us. So what can we do? Number one, we humble ourselves. Now I'm going to start out with a very positive verse about humbling yourselves. It pays to humble yourself. Here in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. You'll want to remember this. By humility and the fear of the Lord. And let me tell you, they go hand in hand. If you fear God, you better fear God. I ask the Lord to teach me the fear of the Lord pretty much every day. That's Old and New Testament. Okay, now notice the blessing. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So as we would walk humbly before our God and walk in the fear of the Lord, in reverential awe before him, and when we mess up, we repent. We get it right, and we go back serving God. Well, you said, well, that's an Old Testament passage. Well, okay. Let's just jump to the New Testament. How about that? James chapter 4, we'll start verse 6. God says, but he giveth more grace. Oh, that's wonderful. You know, not only does God give you grace, but you're going through hard times, he can give you more grace. But notice also then what it says. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. That means he keeps you at an arm's distance. And giveth grace to the humble, those who recognize how desperately, let's just say it right now, Heavenly Father, I desperately need you. Lord Jesus Christ, I desperately need you. Holy Spirit, I desperately need you. Dear God, I can't live without you. I confess that. I humble myself before you. That felt good, didn't it? God liked that. I meant it. Did you mean it? But let's go on. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's a daily verse. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Did you hear that? Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. And here it is again. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You want to be lifted up? Don't do it by pride. You'll get put down. But humble yourself before God. He will lift you up. There's another one, just a couple pages. 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll start verse 5. In like manner, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. You know, just like you put on the whole armor every day, I hope, pray you do. Put on that garment of humility. Clothe yourself with humility. Humble yourself before God. Oh, God likes it. You'll be blessed for doing that. Okay. For God resisteth the proud. Do you understand that? Oh, I feel like God's keeping me at arm's distance. He probably is. You're proud. You're arrogant. You're self-sufficient. You think you can do it by yourself. That's dumb. And that's a nice word for it. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Here it is. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I'll never forget a person I love very much, Derek Prince. He says, God puts the responsibility of humbling on you. If God has to humble you, he'll humiliate you. I've never forgotten that. So make the decision. You can do it to humble yourself. Okay. So if I've humbled myself, what next? I pray. That makes sense. I talk to God, right? You know, Jesus had a lot to say about prayer. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. We'll start verse 5. Jesus says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and at the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy room, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father who is in secret. And thy Father who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the pagans do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray you. It's the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to pray it. You agree with me. Or you can pray it too. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, literally the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So when you humble yourselves, you talk to God. You confess you need him. You deal, and we'll look at this, you deal with the junk in your trunk, the things you haven't taken care of. You know you shouldn't have done it, shouldn't have said it, but you haven't talked to God about it and repented. Okay, you pray, you talk to God. God loves to hear from you. You know, he created you for fellowship, okay? And, you know, some people think, well, you know, I've just prayed once about this or twice about this. You know, Jesus tells us to be persistent in our prayer. I love throwing in this verse. Matthew 7:7-11. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount? Ask and it shall be given you. Literally, it means ask and keep on asking. Seek and you shall find. Literally, seek and keep on seeking. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Literally, knock and keep on knocking. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What a promise. For what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So God loves to bless his children. But he wants you to pray, and he wants you to be persistent in prayer. Never give up. Like Jesus taught a parable later on. I'm reminded of that over here in the book of Luke. I believe it's chapter 18. Yeah, here it is. Luke 18:1, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, Jesus, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That means don't give up. I'd like to give you the whole story, but I'm just giving you the point here. Jesus says, don't give up. It's always too early to quit. Keep on pressing in. You know, we learned from the book of Daniel that sometimes it takes a period of time, and when you pray, that gets the demon angels stirred up, and there's a battle going on in heaven, and that's why sometimes it seems like there's a delay. But we're not getting into that today, but that's just the reality of the spirit realm, okay? So we're to pray. We talk to God. We deal with the junk. But not only we pray, this is important. We says, seek my face. You know, that reminds me of Psalm 27, start verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Mercy is good. Mercy is Old and New Testament. We all need mercy. I need mercy, and I ask for it. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said to thee, God, thy face will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. You know, we think when we're asking for stuff, we're asking kind of for God's hands, for blessings. When you seek your face, you're seeking God. You want to know him. You want to spend time with him. You want to become acquainted with him. You want to be his friend. Remember Abraham? He was called a friend of God. Remember what Jesus said in John 15? We can be his friends if we do what he tells us to do. So we need to seek to know him, not just get stuff from him. He loves to give us stuff. We're his children if you're born again. But the thing is, seek to know him. You know, a verse I try to keep before me is in John chapter 15. Jesus is speaking to me. It helps me to understand how intimate the Lord wants to have a relationship with me as well as with you. John 15:4-5. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine. That's Jesus. You are the branches. Put your name in the blank if you're saved. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Never forget that part. And then here's the blessing, the verse of blessing about walking intimately with God. Verse 7, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, which means you read the Bible and you believe it, right? Okay. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So Jesus wants us to walk with him day by day, moment by moment, talk to him about everything. He's interested in everything in our lives. Isn't that awesome? But we seek his face. We realize, Lord, I've gotten away from seeking you. I'm not taking time like I should. Lord, I want to spend time with you. I want to talk to you about everything. Again, seek God's face. That's part of the cure. And then here's the final part, and it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Turn from their wicked ways. Ah, that's where you find that word repent. Remember 2 Peter 3:9? The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, that means die and go to hell, but that all should come to repentance. How many people have to repent? All. In fact, to get saved, you repent of your sins and receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. And once you get saved, you find out you're still not perfect. So when you mess up, you still repent of your sins and trust in Jesus. And you learn how to grow and get strong where you don't mess up all the time, right? And you walk in victory. But you turn from your wicked ways. You know, there's been so many false teachings in the church. There's this what's called hyper grace. You're saved and now you don't need to repent anymore. Everything's good with you and God. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You know, Jesus wrote to seven churches under the covenant of grace in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 3. Jesus said, first of all, he says, here's a picture of who I am. Secondly, he would give a picture of, I like what you're doing here. But then Jesus would say to the church, and these were little churches, here's something I don't like. And notice what he says about that. We'll start Revelation 2:4 with Ephesus. Told him some good things, and then this. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. In other words, you're busy doing things, but you're not in love with me like you're supposed to. I'm not number one. Do you know God expects to be number one? Remember how it used to be when you got saved. There from whence thou art fallen, and repent. There it is. Turn from those wicked ways and do the first works. Or else, that sounds serious. I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy lampstand out of this place, except thou repent. Woo! So Jesus tells his church and Christians, I don't like this, and I expect you to repent, or something very bad will happen. Do you know that's absolutely true today? Do you know this church was under the covenant of grace? Let's go to another, Revelation 2:15. So there has also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Let's go to verse 14 first. For I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them there that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. Ooh, that's one of those churches that says, oh, it doesn't matter if you have sex before you get married. Oh, it doesn't matter if you have a few affairs or flings. Oh, it doesn't matter if you're a sexual pervert or deviant. No big deal. Do you know that happened back then? What did Jesus say? Verse 16, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Hoo-hoo-hoo! Jesus isn't happy, is he? I'm going to fight against you. There was another church, the next one, Thyatira. Verse 21, well, let's start verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou allowest that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, here it is, to commit fornication, sexual sin, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Now notice the graciousness of God. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. So what'd God do? Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Oh, it doesn't stop there. And I, Jesus, will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searcheth the minds and the hearts, and will I give to every one of you according to your works. Oh, God really hates sexual sin in the church, doesn't he? He doesn't mess around. He gives a space to repent, and then here it comes, the whammy, the chastening, the difficult things. Church, turn from your wicked ways. But you're not going to do that unless Holy Spirit convicts you. And you're definitely not going to do it unless you're not saved. Are you not saved? Cry out to Jesus now. Jesus, I want to be a Christian. You're the Savior. You died for me and rose again. I repent of my sins. Cleanse me by your precious blood. Jesus, I give my life to you. Save me. I give my life to you both now and forever. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org or send an email to Pastor Gary. His email is garyculp@yahoo.com. Please join them again next week as they continue to expound on God's truth in a relevant and practical way.